we're going to be talking about Uber and the rideshare app Uber, who have announced a new service today. It's called Uber. Oh, no, actually, sorry. It's announced last week, I believe. Uber Elevate. And it's this futuristic system of air taxis, which will take passengers to the skies in what's being described as a drone-like helicopter. They're going to be testing these flying taxis in Melbourne, also in Dallas and San Francisco next year. And they're expecting to launch Uber Elevate as a commercial service by 2023. But the Australian Transport Workers Union National Secretary, Michael Caine, he's written an opinion piece in the Sydney Morning Herald today. It's titled, Uber's Air Taxi System Isn't Amazing, It's Dystopian. Well, Michael's on the line now. Good evening, Michael.
Hi, Karen. How are you going?
Good. You think the concept of flying taxis is, to quote your word, terrifying. Why is that?
Well, Karen, this is Uber through and through. Here we have this kind of science fiction vision that's put before the public of the world, that kind of Jetsons view that everything's going to be shiny and rosy and we're going to be able to hop into these air taxis and look down over all of those other people that are struggling down there on the streets below us, you know, in gridlock traffic, suffering from the lack of input into infrastructure, which Uber doesn't help with because it pays very little tax. This is Uber in its most typical distraction moment. This is Uber, who was hoping to gain $120 billion in its public sale, but ended up very well short of that at $80 million, and then quickly lost $12 to $15 million. And in those kind of desperate for it financial circumstances, it throws up, as it's done time and time again, this kind of new vision to distract everyone so that what the general public see about Uber is this shiny new part of our world that should be embraced. But really, Karen, it really should not be embraced because this is a company that exploits workers. It has a track record of doing it. And in a very real sense, it's damaging our community, our sense of community, our sense of work. And here we go again with Uber promising quite literally more than the world and delivering what is undercutting our very communities.
And Michael, yes, you mentioned in your piece about the Fair Work Ombudsman last week. What happened there that they really just let them go?
Well, this is the thing. We've got systems in place and laws in different countries. We've got two countries that have just recently ruled that Uber drivers are employees. And the significance of that, Karen, for your listeners, of course, is that most countries, if you're classified as an employee, most countries have protections, have rights, have obligations for companies to pay tax on behalf of employees that they're engaging. Most importantly, those employees have a base set of rights, which mean that they can't be exploited. They get a minimum wage. Uber has gone into markets right around the world, and what they've attempted to do is set themselves up with systems that look just different enough from an employee system for them to argue that these people, these workers, are not employees at all, but they're independent contractors. And that's what they've done in Australia. And unfortunately, our regulator, in what really is preemptive and preempting what a court would find, which is disappointing, has decided that the Uber model is one in Australia where workers are not employees. Now, that's something that we think is very difficult to sustain. But what it does show again, Karen, is that this company is pushing the limits of the law so that they can literally take profit from the pockets of workers, from the pockets of our communities, from the money that should be going into taxes to go into infrastructure and education and health, and putting it into their bottom line, which is just contributing to that massive wealth in circumstances where our community is clearly suffering.
Well, why aren't workers' rights being taken into account here? What is it that Uber have that, from your perspective, allows them to get away with it?
Well, they shouldn't be getting away with it. Uber's model is very similar to a model that the Australian courts found very recently in the case of Foodora, a food delivery company, which tried the same trick. It said that its riders and its drivers were independent contractors, but we took that to court and the court found that, no, they were in fact employees. And Foodora's response to that, a very large German parent company, decided that they would just pack up and go home, leaving workers out of pocket. Now, we managed to grab some of that money back for those workers, but the point is here that Uber's model is very similar. Those workers are under control of Uber. The test, Karen, really comes down to this. If you're an Uber driver or you're looking at an Uber driver, do you really think that they are operating the business? The answer to that, of course, patently is no, they're not operating a business or the business of Uber. Uber operates the business and these workers are Uber workers. They should be employees, and that's what a series of courts around the globe are finding. And Uber is desperate to deflect attention from that now, and that's why we see this kind of outrageous new attempt to deflect and to grab the imagination of the public with this air taxi announcement just recently.
It really has too. I look at the comments on the Sydney Morning Herald and a lot of people saying, you know, get with the times, Michael. This is just the world as it's unrolling, you know, as it's unfurling. And they like the idea, whereas others side with you. But you also say in your piece that you don't think that the CASA, the Civil Aviation Safety Authority, or Melbourne Airport, or even the Victorian State Government, or the Federal Government have been contacted about these plans. Surely they must have been to get an aircraft in the sky that's operating as a taxi.
Well, it's not. The thing that Uber does is it comes in and it literally uses its market force and its market presence to impose itself. That's what it's done in economies right around the world with its rideshare approach. It didn't ask permission. It just came in and started operating. And then when it became apparent that it was operating, it started to deal with questions that came from regulators, but they were not heartfelt questions. What needs to happen here, Karen, right across the globe, and talk about Australia now, is the federal government needs to step up. Because what we're seeing here is we've got drivers. We just did a survey of rideshare drivers last October, 1,100 of them. It's a massive sample. Their average pay is just $16, and out of that, they've got to pay their fuel, their insurance, all of their costs. They've got to cover themselves when they're sick because there's no sick pay. They don't have workers' compensation if they're injured. And that's not even touching the issue of the assaults that were reported in that survey. 6% of drivers saying that they'd been sexually assaulted while working. So this is not the society that people would expect. And I'm sure that people, when they were responding and saying, get with the times, we're genuine with that because it does sound exciting. It does sound like science fiction. But underneath that gloss, underneath that shiny exterior, what we're seeing is a company here that is exploiting our workers, exploiting young people, vulnerable people, students. This is not something that any society wants. And it's time for governments to step up and take solid action to put in place rights for these workers.
Well, apparently the Victorian State Government have actually signed a memorandum of agreement with Uber, and they won't just be drivers. I mean, they'd have to be pilots, wouldn't they?
Well, you know, you would expect that there'd be some really significant examination about how this is how this would ever operate. I think, quite frankly, as I think I've made clear, that this is, you know, literally pie in the sky stuff. I think it's just Uber deflecting here.
You don't think it's going to happen? It's going to happen, though, isn't it?
I think it will happen at some point, that there will be the capacity to do this. But we have to think about how that happens, when that happens. Surely now's not the time. Surely the time now is to make sure that companies like Uber are properly contributing to the communities that they're reaping billions from. And they're clearly not. They're tax evading, they're misclassifying workers, they're ensuring that we have now an underclass of workers that's not even covered by minimum standards that we've worked so hard as a community across the world to establish over many, many decades. What Uber is, and I think historically will be known for, is a company that came in and completely attempted to dismantle rights that had been fought for by workers and on behalf of workers by unions and governments over many, many decades. And what we have to do is understand that we're in a moment of battle and that sometimes we've just got to stand up and realise that we're being hoodwinked. realise that that profit is going just into the bottom line and into a few people's pockets while we're creating, sitting and indeed applauding the creation of an underclass of workers through these companies. This is something we've got to stand up for, Karen, in our view, and urgently.
It's a hard balance though, Michael, isn't it? Because you've got a whole lot of people now who are going, yeah, I want to ride in a drone-like helicopter. Great. You know, they're not thinking about the rights of the workers. They're just thinking about how wonderful the brave new world is.
Well, I think that's right. And I think that you're absolutely right. It's up to the community to understand that when they are making these decisions, admittedly, it sounds like science fiction and it sounds exciting. And it is exciting because it's something new and something different. But those decisions need to be made in full glare of the fact that what's funded the capacity of that company to do that is for people to be exploited. And I don't think anyone, when they are asked that question and given that choice, or there would be very few people who would say, well, in those circumstances, I'm still comfortable with this. It's just that that needs to be properly exposed and dealt with. And if Uber changes its model and it starts to treat workers with respect and there are minimum standards in place and they get a fair wage for a fair day's work, then that's a model that can be built on, and that's a model that we'd all be willing to support, and then we could get behind this kind of exciting new suggestion from Uber. But at the moment, no one should get behind it, because what they do, if they get behind it, is they're actually, in a way, contributing to a community that none of us want.
Thanks very much, Michael. Well, we'll wait and see whether those air taxis from Uber do appear and who jumps on for a ride. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Take care.
And that's Australian Transport Workers Union National Secretary Michael Kane.